Welcome back to another episode of In the Money. I'm Roberta King, a Vice President Branch Leader with Fidelity Investments. With me today is Tony Zhang, Chief Strategist of Options Play. Tony is a frequent CNBC guest. And Tony, again, I say welcome. It's so great and always great to be back with you.
Thank you so much, Roberta. A lot has happened in the markets here over the last few weeks. So really looking forward to diving into how we're thinking about the recent volatility in the markets.
Agreed. And investors, if you're watching, today's Thursday, March 27th, 2025. And as Tony's mentioned, we all continue to have a watchful eye on the markets and how they're responding to key economic data. Tony, I am always interested in what you're noticing. So let's get today's conversation started with your macroeconomic view on just what you're observing.
Yeah, Roberta, obviously the markets have seen a bit of volatility here over the last month or so. But the one thing that I really think we should be paying attention to right now is the slowdown in consumer spending. For the last few years, we've been talking about the risk of if consumers were to slow down in terms of spending, what that would mean for the overall economy. And, coming out of the pandemic, consumers were flush with cash. However, what we're starting to see recently is rising debt levels, depleted savings that is starting to erode into consumer spending, and then the recent tariff uncertainty that has driven consumer sentiment to multi-year lows has translated into a fairly significant slowdown in consumer spending, something that we kept talking about potentially happening, but consumers seemingly just magically continued to spend money by, like I said, depleting their savings account and maxing out their credit cards. But we're now starting to see that come to a bit of an end. And consumer sentiment being at these multi-year lows has really translated into a pretty significant broad slowdown in consumer spending across multiple categories. And we've seen major consumer companies issue warning signals. We saw Delta cut their outlook for 2025 by a very significant margin. Walmart has sent us warnings. We've been showing that the iPhone 16 sales data over the last 4 or 5 months have continued to erode. And this really highlights kind of the growing risk of a broader economic slowdown because U.S. consumers account for a very large percentage of the U.S. economy. So if we look at the S&P 500 and we see that over the last month or so, that 10% correction initially on the S&P 500 over the last 5, 6 weeks, this is really in conjunction with kind of the slowdown that we're starting to see from consumer spending. And recently, over the last couple of weeks, we did discuss potentially reaching a bit of a temporary bottom on the S&P 500, and we have rallied over the last couple of weeks. And I think for a lot of investors, the question is, can this rally that we've seen over the last couple of weeks continue and resume us get us back towards those all-time highs above 6,100? Or are these rallies, something that we should be concerned about and potentially adding some bearish exposure or potentially even hedging some downside risk here in the overall portfolio? And I think if you look at the S&P 500, we've rallied back to a very important resistance level, which is around 5,700, 5,775. That's a major resistance area that so far the equity markets have stalled at. And when you stall at these major resistance levels on these subsequent rallies after a 10% correction, it suggests that there's a higher probability of a pullback here. And my downside target, at least in the immediate short term, is to around 5,400 on the S&P 500. And you combine that with the current valuations of the S&P 500. If you look at right now, we're trading at around just about 20 and a half times forward earnings on the S&P 500, which is about 8% higher than the 10-year average, which is around 18.5%, 18 and a half times forward earnings. So that speaks to still a substantial amount of downside risks, especially when you have a slowing economic activity for the valuation of the S&P 500. And then lastly, the one thing that I think is really interesting is the fact that As we've rallied over the last couple of weeks, the VIX has also retreated by a significant margin. We're now seeing the VIX below 19%, below the 50-day average, which is around 18.5% right now. And what that shows me is that there's a potential complacency that the market is currently pricing in for in terms of pullback risk for the next 30 days. And I think that potentially what we're doing, even investors, are being a little bit overly optimistic on these rallies and not being too concerned about a bigger pullback to the point where they could maybe be underpricing the probability of a bigger pullback here. And I think there is some opportunity there for investors who are prudent and concerned about further downside to potentially buy some downside protection in the current market environment that we're in right now.
Tony, thank you for those observations. And I think the VIX is interesting, which is often referred to as the fear index, and that you've pulled out the fact that while this measure, at least at the moment, is retreating somewhat, in contrast, we're seeing the reports on consumer confidence and spending just generally lowering. For those that are looking at sharpening their chart reading skills, so our investors out there, what tips do you have or what common tools do you use to provide insight into chart readings and interpretations?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. So I'll tackle that from two parts, right? I think it's really important that whenever we're using charts to determine an outlook for something or try to understand what's happening, it's important to understand what you're looking at a chart of. So when we compare consumer confidence numbers with the VIX, it's important to understand that we're not necessarily comparing apples to apples. Consumer confidence is really looking at what does a consumer expect conditions to be over the next 12 months? Versus the VIX is really looking at what is the expectation for volatility on the S&P 500 over the next 30 days. So, we're comparing two very different time frames in that particular instance. So it's not necessarily fair to just compare one versus the other apples to apples. That's number one. So whenever you're looking at a chart or, when you're looking at a stock or an ETF, it's important to understand exactly what the components of what you're looking at to determine, once you make your analysis, how do you actually interpret it? The second part to your question, as far as what skills might you want to hone with regards to chart reading? The most important skill for chart reading is to read price action first. Price is by far the most important indicator when you're looking at a chart. A lot of people, when they learn about technical analysis and they learn about charting, they immediately jump into looking at indicators like moving averages or RSI, hoping that these indicators will provide some type of insight. But remember, all of those indicators are derived from price. So the most important thing to learn to read is price itself. And that is simply, sometimes just simple understanding of simple support and resistance levels, how that affects price, and when those support and resistance levels are broken, what that means in terms of the change in price or change in trend. That's really, in my opinion, the most important thing to learn how to read. And then any indicators that you use is simply going to be hopefully confirming your overall views. The indicators themselves should not be the ones, it should not be how you derive those views themselves.
That's great advice, Tony. Thank you. So let's shift gears and let's get a little tactical. And based on what we've talked about so far, I do understand that a hedging strategy is what you have in mind for us today. Can you tell us what opportunity you're seeing in the market?
Yeah, so, my trade idea here for today is 100% tied to what I just spoke about with regards to my views here from a macro perspective. This is really the first time in years we're seeing a true risk in terms of the slowdown in the US economy as consumers have pulled back on spending, and we get these warning signals across the board from companies in the consumer discretionary space, consumer staple space, and showing that, companies are concerned about consumer spending in 2025. And you factor into the fact that debt levels are at all-time highs, the fact that valuations are still elevated compared to where we were over the last 10 years or so. This really speaks to, what could be some further downside risk in the S&P 500. So the fact that we've rallied back up to 57 50 on the S&P 500, or if we're looking at SPY, an ETF that we can use to potentially hedge some downside exposure, that's around the 575 level. There's really, in my opinion, an opportunity right now, because when the market has rallied over the last couple of weeks, the VIX has retreated significantly. I talked about the fact that we've retreated from about 30% on the VIX down to around 18.5 in the last 2 weeks. What that means is that to buy downside protection here on using SPY as an ETF is about 40% lower now than it was 2 weeks ago. So if we were concerned about downside 2 weeks ago, in my opinion, I don't necessarily think the small rally we've seen over the last couple of weeks changes that at all. The economic picture, if anything, has simply solidified our views that consumer spending clearly is slowing down. We've seen multiple earnings reports here over the last couple of weeks that have also continued to solidify our overall views. You look at Apple and, the biggest consumer brand in the world, and kind of the slowdowns we're seeing in Nike and Apple. There's really concerns that there's further downside here. And I think that what we want to do is take advantage of the rally over the last couple of weeks as a good time to start looking at adding some bearish exposure. And if you're not invested in the market, this would simply be a tactical way to take advantage of a potentially a move lower here in the broader markets. If you are invested in the markets like most people are, this could be a way that you can potentially hedge some of your downside risk while remaining invested in those investments, but really taking advantage of the fact that we've rallied here so that the risk to reward ratio is quite favorable to add some downside exposure and take advantage of the decline in implied volatilities, because buying options right now are relatively cheap compared to 2 weeks ago. So what I want to do is I want to use SPY, the ETF, which is a broad-based ETF to measure the S&P 500, and use that as a way to potentially hedge some downside exposure. And I'm going out to the May expiration, which gives us just a little under 2 months worth of time, and I'm looking at buying the 570 540 put vertical here. And earlier today, you can spend about $8.55 for this debit spread. And what that does is it gives you downside exposure on SPY down to around the 540 level here for $8.55, or $855 per contract. That's your total risk on the trade. And that means you're risking a little over 1.6, 1.7% of the ETF's value to buy that downside protection, versus you would have to spend closer to 2.5% of the ETF's value just 2 weeks ago to buy some downside protection. So right now, I think both the timing and the implied volatility lines up quite well for buying that downside protection. Now, I will say, from my perspective, we don't know for a fact that markets are going to decline. In fact, I actually would prefer that I don't actually have to use this hedge, because if we do need to end up using this hedge, that means the market has declined. That means overall the market has declined and your portfolio has likely lost some value. But this is really where, if you are concerned about that downside risk, this is one way to potentially mitigate some of that risk by using a hedging strategy rather than just hoping and that the market doesn't move lower.
That's helpful, Tony. And as you know, in all of our conversations, I always end up really interested in the practicality of trade management. And you've even mentioned that this could go either way, as with any trade. And so, what are some of the ways you would consider managing this trade? Let's say if the market doesn't end up going down, or perhaps you're correct, but prices retract even lower than expected. How would you adjust?
Yeah, great question. So let's first tackle the scenario where the market doesn't move lower. The market just continues to rally from where we are, and I do hope that that happens, because then that is generally better for everyone's portfolio. If that was to happen, the structure that we're using here, which is a debit structure, meaning you're paying to buy the option here, the rule of thumb for debit type structures is actually quite simple. We're paying about $8.55 for this debit spread. If we lose 50% of the premium that we pay, that's usually a good indication that this trade is not working out the way that I expect it to, meaning the market has not meaningfully declined over the period of time that I'm expecting it to do between now and that May. May expiration. So if what I'm paying right now for about $8.55 declines to around $4.25, which is about 50% of the value that I'm paying here, that would be a good indication that it's time to get out of the trade. And what I would do is I basically save the other 50% of the premium that I've paid for my next trade by getting out early at a smaller loss rather than holding this trade and potentially losing the entire $855 per contract. That's if the market's maybe stays where it is or rises from here, which would be arguably a better scenario for everyone's portfolio. But if the markets do decline, the rule of thumb here is that if it re exceeds the lower strike price of the debit spread, the vertical structure that I'm using here, which is the $540 strike on SPY, that is a good time to reconsider recentering your trade, meaning taking profits on the trade that we've made and then looking at potentially extending that trade, further out in time and then changing the strike prices further down to reflect the downside protection that I need at that point. So we would have to reassess based on both technical levels, as far as how much further downside exposure do I want to hedge against, as also as in terms of valuations, because once the market has already declined another 7-8%, perhaps I might not be too concerned about another 7-8% decline. So I have to reevaluate both on based on technicals and fundamentals, where I want to move my strike prices at that point.
Thank you, Tony. That is so helpful. And I just want to shift gears a little bit. And thank you for that trade idea, because we do save time in each of our conversations to look back at a trade idea and see how it played out. And so I find these moments generally to be really valuable. They provide lessons when we take a peek back in time. So today, Tony, I understand you're looking back at a previous trade on Shopify. Could you share what happened since that initial trade?
Yeah, a few weeks ago, I laid out a bullish thesis here for Shopify on the back of what was expecting to the markets to bounce. And that's exactly sort of what has happened. We sold a $90 put option expiring on April 11th for Shopify when it was trading just slightly above $90. The stock has rallied a little over $10 or so since that has happened. It's rallied from about $91 to $101. And so the put option that we sold for $5 is now worth just a little over $1, about $1.05, meaning we've captured nearly 80% of the total premium that we could on this particular trade. And we still have, in this particular case, 2 weeks left before expiration. Now, given the current macro environment that I'm looking at right now, I think it's best in this particular case just to simply take profits as opposed to simply holding this trade. You can't just hold this trade hoping that by expiration date, by April 11th, the stock stays above $90 and you can capture the other 20% that's left in this particular trade. But I think the risk reward ratio, given the macro conditions, given kind of how much time is left, is not particularly worth it. We've already made 80% of the profits on this trade. It's time to close it out and move on to the next trade.
Thank you, Tony, for that look back. And you started to answer kind of one of my thoughts on this one. Are there any other thoughts you have when someone does have a successful trade? How does an investor decide whether or not to pursue a completely new investment thesis or security? Or because, the research, the analysis that they've done on the security, is so informed that it's worth making another trade on it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And in this particular case, there's a few things that I'm looking at here for Shopify, because in many instances when a trade works so well in such a short amount of time, the first thing instance is to my first instinct is to continue to sell a new put in Shopify. I would look at going out another 30 days and maybe recentering the trade around the $100 strike price on Shopify. That would be my typical move here. There's a couple of things that I typically look at. First thing is valuation, right? There's typically always a valuation component into any trade structure that I'm doing. So when I'm looking at Shopify, I'm looking at, is the stock undervalued? And that's why I'm taking a bullish thesis. So as it moves higher, I have to look at, does the valuation now still remain undervalued, or is it at a point where I would consider it fairly valued or potentially even overvalued as a result of the rally that we've seen here? That's the first decision in terms of helping me understand as to whether this is something I will make another trade on or simply close out and move on to the next trade. But in this particular example right now, my concern is around the slowdown from a macro perspective, especially around consumer spending. And that is at the center of what Shopify provides services for e-commerce. And that's really one of the segments where I do have concerns that there's going to be a slowdown in that particular industry. And that's why I've chosen in this particular instance to not chase this and continue to sell a new put on Shopify. Otherwise, from a valuation perspective and from a technical perspective, I think there's still potentially some upside in Shopify if it weren't for the broader macro conditions.
Understood. Thank you for that context, Tony. So before we wrap up today's trade conversation, Tony, I'm interested in what you might have cooking for next week. What's on the agenda?
Yeah, next week, the focus really turns to the labor market. You have the JOLTS data that comes in the middle of the week, but the big one is really the unemployment and non-farm payrolls at the end of next week on Friday morning. That's really where investors are really paying attention to in terms of, is there going to be a slowdown in the labor market? Because as we talk about a pullback in consumer spending, a big component of consumer spending is labor. If labor remains strong, you generally don't see a significant slowdown in consumer spending. But if we start to see an uptick in unemployment, we start to see payrolls decline, are not as strong as expected, that is another sign that, down the line, that's going to translate into weaker consumer spending. So the labor market is going to be a big component of what we're going to look at. And I can't believe it, but we're going to kick off another earnings season already starting next week. So this is going to bring another cycle of understanding how corporations are doing in the first quarter and what their outlooks are or how they're shifting their outlooks throughout the rest of 2025. And that's going to arguably be very important in terms of getting a read on how consumers are spending for the rest of the year.
Excellent. We are definitely looking forward to that. This does bring us to a close. I want to thank all of our viewers and investors for tuning in today. Tony, thank you for bringing us your thoughts and your trade ideas.
Thank you so much, Roberta. It's a pleasure to be here.
If you're interested in further details specific to Tony's trade ideas that were shared today, please join us for our midday market briefing, which will be held tomorrow. And you can do that by visiting fidelity.com/InTheMoneyFollowup. And if you're looking for further insights or if you missed the show live, be sure to sign up for Active Investor Weekly. And that's a newsletter where you can receive highlights of the trades discussed today. You can do that at fidelity.com/Active Investor Weekly. Next week, we'll be back for another episode of In the Money. Thank you. Take care.
Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or, if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of Characteristics and Risks of Standardized Options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options such as spreads, straddles, and collars as compared with a single option trade. Foreign investments involve greater risks than U.S. investments, including political and economic risks and the risk of currency fluctuations, all of which may be magnified in emerging markets. Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you are most comfortable with. As with all your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of Options Play and are not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use. Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments disclaims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC. Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.